Ephesus and was sent out is an Ephesus email as well as to the provinces. So Baba MC, welcome you and your delegation from Gauteng. We are very displeased that you are late. There is a meeting with scheduled for 9:30. And we have other meetings pushed in between 1 and 2 as well, plus this afternoon, so we are squashed. So your time of presentation will be reduced to 30 minutes. You will have to reorganize yourself. There will be an official tea break, and Treasury will get 30 minutes to do their presentation. Okay. Honourable members, we acknowledge that Advocate Tao will be receiving his LLM degree in March, April, and we as a committee wish him So yes, he will also got his master's degree last year, so there's development. Yes. So one day we call the doctor. Dr. Tao, Dr. Shino. Yeah. Esther is also studying as a running. Including their chats. Thank you, all members. I got apologies from Pumalanga. They are in the hot club. They will be here next week when we invite the other provinces. And please, Mr. M2, in old letters, the starting time of the meeting. Very important. The other policy is from the Embassy of Free State, from the Rockham. They are in a budget of our club, but HUD will be in the meeting. And then Honorable Bloom is basically the party political work that he makes. Thank you. That is the apologies. And Honorable Manella is tied up with the other responsibilities of Deputy Chair of Council in the presidial meetings. Meeting. As we said in the beginning when we started this engagement with provinces, it's important that we monitor the fiscal position of each province, that we don't land up in a situation we have in the fall. And I'd like to say, and I'm proud of committee members in this committee, and the members in the committees, select committees for public service, for education, for health, public works, etc., that the NCP gave direction in terms of the intervention in the home. And it's something that can be taken forward by the members coming after us. So to the provinces here today, what is your revenue, what is your expenditure, do you have a deficit, cash in the bank? Your spending of departments as indicated in your documents, your unauthorized expenditure, wasteful expenditure, and the measures to deal with them. Also, compliance with section 40, 45, and 76 of the FMA, the role and responsibilities of the accounting officers, and the transgression of the law, because it is a base law. What happens when you transgress the law. Mr. Shishi, you're welcome to address the comments and take us to the legal briefing afterwards.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members of the Committee, Honourable MC, and colleagues from the SSC as well, for Parliament's presentation. Some of the, quite a lot of the elements quite similar to what I presented last week, but there's some smaller changes, but as we go through, obviously I'll outline all the things. This presentation, of course, just as a reminder to everybody, in terms of the numbers that the fiscal numbers that were published in terms of 2022 and the FMA. In the next slide, we're just indicating the level of adjustment of budget that took place in the provinces, in the country during the adjustment estimates. The province tables are in November of 2013 to adjust the main budget. You can see there, one of the provinces gets there, Gauteng, has the largest adjustment to its budget, 3.55 billion rand. It's sort of reminded that with the health department, but the the two provinces, Eastern Cape and Gauteng, were top two, followed by some of the others, and the other provinces that were supposed to be here. Free State had the smallest adjustment in budget, just over 86.6 million. Next slide. The group then shows the current state of affairs on aggregate across the nine provinces in the country at the end of December. Just to take you through very quickly, see that the adjusted budgets of provinces after all the adjustments are done. The budget is 430 billion rand. Provinces are projected to spend 433.6 billion rand, with the vast majority of the projected forward expenditure in the Free State and Gauteng. I will have a comment to say later about the reliability of the projections, because we don't think, as I said before, they are very reliable, particularly in respect of Gauteng. We think that unless Gauteng has something very silly, they should, without too much difficulty, come within budget. So we actually don't think Gauteng will overspend at all. But that's our assessment of the National Treasury, but in terms of their position, they are saying that they are going to overspend by 1.6 billion rand. As you can see in the very last column of that particular slide, provinces are spending 7.3% higher than at the same time in the previous financial year. Mpopo being the lowest, followed by Free State and Gauteng. So Free State and Gauteng have actually not significantly increased their spending compared to where they were at the same time last year. This is one of the things that we used in our assessment of where they were to be at the end. But those are the numbers there in front of you, as you can see. The next slide outlines the cash position of the nine provinces in the country. We are seeing, when I last presented before the committee, we noted the fact that there were significant cash balances in provinces of 19.2 billion rand. Those cash balances have grown to 24.4 billion rand at the end of December. The provinces are, in terms of their cash balances, not in a bad situation. No one is at an aggregate level is utilizing the overdraft facilities that are available to them at the Reserve Bank. They're not utilizing them. They've got the cash in the bank. Although the ones that we are watching are KZN to be in next week, Northern Cape, because if you look at the column that says PMG, which is under the second section, that PMG column stands for Paymarks General. Those are the individual bank accounts of specific departments within the province. As you can see, in the Free State, very low, but in KZN, excuse me, and Northern Cape is later. Which means that what's happening in those provinces is that the exchequer, which is the revenue fund of the province, is having to cover individual overdrafts of the province. So on aggregate, things are fine, but there are specific departments where there are things that they are watching. And we are still dealing with a cash management guideline that we are going to be issuing to the nine provinces for comment, after which we will then obviously move to the process of putting it out there for everybody to comment. In the next slide, this is just a reminder of the components of provincial expenditure, to remind the committee and everyone else, provinces spend most of the budget on compensation, and then followed by goods and services. Within goods and services, the top six items are dominated by things related to health and medicine, physical supply, as well as contractors. Contractors refers to contractors for infrastructure projects and support. And then, of course, LCSM, which is the other teacher support material in education, follows at the end of it. Those items, just for everybody's understanding, provinces spend about 84 billion rand on goods and services in this year. Those items constitute 60% of the total goods and services spending of all provinces in the country. So those are the big items that we're watching, and that our government, the Chief Procurement Office, also watching in terms of control. So going in to look at the biggest item, which is personnel, which is in the next slide. The question that we've been asking our provinces controlling personnel, recruitment, social services, something we look at. In the past, we look at April to March, in other words, financially. Now we're looking at January to December, because what we find is that that is actually a better way of understanding personnel, because within both education and health, the movement in personnel actually happens at the start and the end of the calendar year rather than the financial year. And the difference in the two lines, the blue and the red, is the level of increase across a financial year. And we can see that for a number of years, provinces have been having staff numbers and have grown from 835,731 to 931,431 by the time we go to December 2012. But in 2012 and in 2013, those lines started to meet, and now we're sitting at just over 919,000 people that make in the nine provinces of the country. The two provinces, most provinces, are therefore on aggregate asking a decline, particularly Eastern Cape, and in the Limpopo, which is good in a way because those three provinces are overwhelmingly dominate the landscape. But Gauteng is also a major contributor to personnel numbers, and as we can see there, we've highlighted both Gauteng and Free State as continuing to hire people. Gauteng and Free State are still bucking the trend, as it were, and we're still seeing staff numbers in the Gauteng and in the Free State growing, and that's contributing to a significant effect to the budget ratio of the provinces after this. On the next slide, we're just also highlighting the fact that provinces do spend some money, obviously, on administration, and so what we're doing is on the left-hand side graph, that's just the proportion of the overall budget that the province has. And it's spent on the compensation of its employees. That's what that shows. And what we're saying there is that in terms of the composition, compensation of employees has grown from 54% of the overall budget in 2019 to an estimated 60.9% in 2014-15. So we are continuing to watch this gradual carving out of the compensation budget over the other items. But also, within that, what we're seeing is in some provinces, a high proportion of budget spent on administration items in respect of, you know, head offices and other things that we wouldn't be frontline services. And the three provinces we highlighted there are Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and the Free State, as spending considerable amount of their budget, and to make the Northern Cape, considerable amount of their budget on administration. In other words, per number of people who are working in the front line, in the hospitals, in schools, etc., there's a whole bunch of people sitting in offices providing administrative support in these provinces. And I guess the question is, if Western Cape, Gauteng, and Mpumalanga can have relatively low levels of spending on administration and so still be able to operate, why do the other provinces need so much money to spend on acting next slide. I'm not going to spend time on this, just to highlight the fact that we're looking at the movement of goods and services among four items. We picked four admin fees, advertising, catering, and travel and precision, and then we're comparing movements between the first two quarters and then into the third quarter. Two graphs compare the pace of spending growth in the non-core items in the first three quarters of the current year. Two biggest components are catering and travel and precision, and what we are seeing is that there is a slowdown in the pace of growth of both of those components, which is good news, but we are seeing in a couple of provinces that trend not being that way. So for instance, let me take an example. In the Free State, Free State has slowed down its rate of spending on travel and assistance in between quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three. But the opposite is true in Gauteng. Gauteng is spending more money on travel and assistance going into the third quarter than it did at the start of the year. So we're seeing that there. But on the other hand, they're spending less on catering. So that's just for your information, obviously, for the information of the province. We presented the information at the last time. The next slide then just shows what I was saying before about unreliability of forecast trends. Provinces. At the same time last year were at 52.9%, this year 73.1%. In other words, there's only a 0.2% increase in the year-on-year sort of movement in the cumulative trend. So we don't think that 3.55 billion over expenditure is going to happen, because last year they ended up underspending that 3.5 billion. Our assessment that we have done between the IGR Division of National Treasury and the Budget Office and the National Treasury, that the provinces are on aggregate underspent this year by somewhere between 6.5 billion and 7 billion. If the current trend continues. The next slide just outlines the fact that the projections are that people are saving with some more than they've ever saved during the previous months of the year, and part of the reason why they're under. And then the next slide just basically give an outline of what I've just said, as well as the specific interventions that have been highlighted by provinces, implementation of cross-control measures and that kind of verifications are happening. Slowly, as I said last week, I think they're just moving along at some pace, but we're obviously watching that. And of course, SDM form under the Overdose Procurement Office, which I said last month, held its first sort of big workshop on the reforms that have been pushed, as well as on the strategic procurement in respect to going into the individual provinces, these are the numbers at the end of September for the provinces on aggregate. You can see, I think people can see for themselves there in the Free State, that the biggest issue in the Free State is right at the top, which is the education department. The education department in the Free State is far and away driving the spending at of a runaway rate. So that's a major focus area in terms of controlling what goes on in education in Free State province. But there are some others, of course, but the budgets are relatively small. We are seeing the least roads and transport experiencing continued high spending levels. Part of that is the fact that, of course, the roads department is everywhere knows, in the Free State, is still trying to well, not behind you, but they've already finalized the agreements, but they obviously have extricated themselves from the 23-year fiasco from a few years ago and pay away those commitments that were made. So that's part of what's contributing to that problem. The next slide outlines the narrative on it. As I said, the provincial projections of spending relates mainly to compensation of employees, expenditure, both in education. As I said earlier, the Free State has to do more to stop the growth in the staff numbers in its departments. In fact, Free State has to be the opposite, which is in the next line. As everybody knows, Census 2011 showed that in relative terms, there are various migration movements around the provinces. And one of the provinces where we're seeing a reduction in relative terms in the demographics in terms of the numbers of people, particularly numbers of learners, is the Free State, which means that the Free State needs to realign its spending plan in line with the demographic trends projections in the census, and has found its way through into the provincial equitable share in the formula that has shown those adjustments. At the budget council in 2013, it was agreed by the minister and the non-MEC that this might happen, that the provinces must realign their plan. If you've got less people, then it means you need less people to do the work. You've got to realign your plan and so forth. But what we did was we gave money to provinces that were losing. The 4-4, Eastern Cape, and the Free State to cushion the blow. But that money is only there until 2015-16. After that, they must have sorted themselves out so that they are realigned. And that was agreed at budget time by the Minister and the Mining Ministries. And so Free State growth in personnel numbers must be arrested, actually as a matter of urgency. They need to stop hiring people because they don't have the money to do it, and they're going to have less money from 2016-17 in terms of the growth rate. Trajectory at least, not necessarily in that term. It's also very important, and this has been acknowledged by the province, that events in the last 4 years, we've given numerous decisions, must be better assessed and better costed in this province in particular. Various decisions have been made, whether they're right or wrong is not the point. The point is that a number of them are unaffordable. It's a decision around awarding of bursaries to additional students. This is a nice altruistic gesture, but some of it is just not affordable. And the province needs to cost these decisions better. Provincial specific initiatives in the roads and agricultural sector, the insourcing of contract staff, the appointment of additional Cuban doctors, and the strategy for funding in the Hooker Festival. Again, we are not saying that these things are right or wrong. We are saying that when you make a decision, it must be costly, so that you do things that you can afford. There's money. unfortunately, last hour does not grow on trees. So you have to make sure that you are within the budget that is available to you. And the reason we're saying this is that when we visit the province, and when we talk to departments, and we say to them, why is your budget overheating? Why are the numbers looking so bad? They say, well, there are these initiatives that we have to fund, and this is the reason for the cost pressure. So we say to them, well, there must be wrong with decision making, because either you decide to do something because you've got the money, or you don't do it because you don't have the money. But you can't do something and then come back afterwards and say, I don't have the money to do the thing that I have decided to do. So this is a point that we want to make very, very strongly in respect to the way we don't believe there is a money problem in the 6 days. We believe that there is a decision problem in the 6 days. All the other thing we've seen is accruals, and other unpaid invoices have been growing over the last 4 years. 4 years ago it was 43 million, this past year it was 257 million in the 6 days. So that needs to be addressed, also as a matter of urgency. On the other hand, conditional grant spending in the 6 days is low. Agriculture spending is cut, the minimum grants relatively low, art and culture, the library's money is low, education infrastructure grant is 51%, and the health facilities revitalization grant, which you said your name is the revitalization grant, is at 36%. On the other hand, we are seeing that the province is starting to take steps to deal with officials involved in incurring irregular expenditure and financial misconduct. At least 5 officials were dismissed in the roads department after the fiasco with the 23 roads then. And there are 6 officials that have been suspended in the human settlements department as a result of irregular expenditure. So the province is starting to deal with these people that are making these applications. And now to decide, are there more these happen? Moving on then to housing, which is the next slide, you can see there. That's again, similarly, Harting, the big contributor to spending movement in Harting is the education department. To some extent, in Harting, some of it is understandable in the sense that we have been seeing a big influx of learners into Harting. Harting is experiencing by far bearing the largest brunt of in-migration from other provinces. So census shows a relative, again, decline in population numbers in the Popo, KZN, and the Free State, and a lot of those people are coming to Harting. And as a result, the number of learners enrolled in public schools has grown quite significantly in this problem, and part of the reason why the numbers have been going up. And that's obviously we need to address in terms of the budget. But on aggregate, the province of spending is actually not that 72.2%. If you think at third quarter, you're probably looking for a 75% level of expenditure. It's not too bad. Problems on actually should be able to come within budget, although they may have a problem with their education departments. The next slide just provides a narrative, and as I said, the pressure is in education. Mainly to the point of need to accommodate the growth in their numbers. It is a plan that we've been made aware of, the point of 1,000 teachers in 2014, but as yet these posts are unfunded and they need to be funded. The National Treasury has provided additional funding, before anybody asked, to the province in order to deal with the fact that there is this impact of learners and the need for new teachers. So in the 2013 MPF, we gave this province 9.6 billion rand extra in new money in order to deal with the problems. So now, the onus is on them to make sure that in terms of the budget, that money finds its way into the right budget item so that those critical services are priority to the family. Spending pressures in health are mainly medicine, medical supplies, and property payments. There's also this problem where we've got new hospitals that have been built that are finally coming on stream. In other words, it's taking years to build them, now they're actually going to be ready to commission. Money is required for the nurses to work in those hospitals, for the equipment, for electricity and the water and so forth. And so the fact that these pressures are coming signals that there has traditionally in the past been a lack of life cycle costing to assess the affordability of these projects before the decision to construct a new facility is taken. And that's something that we are trying to address for the future as part of the life cycle costing module that within the infrastructure delivery management system that National Treasury is running out. and that must be carefully monitored and supported by the province, because in as much as the initiative is there from the centre, province must take ownership so that it actually runs and we're able to remedy these challenges for the future. There's been some positive signs. The ESCO has adopted the strategy, and so we just need continual support to make sure that it is implemented by the officials on the ground. Jefferson, the next set of slides is on Pumala, but I think I'll skip it because obviously Pumala is a lot. If we go to the performance information, in other words, the non-financial performance, we've selected just a few. There's a whole bunch of other data, but obviously for the sake of time, we've selected a few. Firstly, under basic education, we look at the number of learners benefiting from the National School Nutrition Program. As you can see there, the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter numbers are reflected in terms of the plans at 38 BC, as well as the preliminary outputs that the provinces have indicated to us. And our seeing that both three states at the end of the third quarter are still having to feed more learners than what they actually planned to feed. We are seeing as well that in the past day, the average cost per learner for school feeding is the second highest in the country, the highest in terms of end. The next slide shows the scholar transport numbers, and we can see the movement of the number of learners who are benefiting from scholar transport who are being transported to school in the provinces where they've highlighted for information. And both provinces are transporting less learners than actually what they anticipated to transport. The next slide shows the health side and what we've selected good numbers on the HIV and AIDS. The first one is the total number of people remaining on antiretroviral treatment at the end of each month. And then the next one is the percentage of HIV and TB co-infected patients takes an antiretroviral treatment. Of course, TB is a major focus area of HIV treatment as well, because a lot of people who have HIV tend to become actually to TB, so that's a major focus area for correlation. So I think. Thank you. There, and then of course, male condom distribution as well. The next slide is on human settlement, and then we're just highlighting the number of units, in other words, the number of houses that have actually been completed in each province across all the housing programs that are being utilized by the province, as you can see there, the number. The last slide is just an observation on those numbers. Firstly, we noticed from our side, and we've communicated this to the provinces, that the high unit cost is having in KZN. Unsurprising, and we've asked that there be assessed given the expectation of high economies of scale and the benefit of high density, so we're quite surprised that it's super high per learner in that province, and we're still waiting to get a sense of that. I've already spoken about the scholar transfer issue in Malanga. On HIV and AIDS, while provinces in general are not achieving the target with regards to total times remaining on antiretroviral treatment, Kumalanga is planning and targeting the PS lack ability. In addition, Kumalanga and Mpoko have the worst reported record of 20 TB and HIV co-infected patients and HRT. And then finally, in terms of new housing units, the Free State did not plan for housing units in the first quarter. For some reason, they said they didn't submit to plan anything. And then they underachieved against plan targets in both the second and the first quarter. But in any event, we are seeing that the majority of provinces are not reaching.
Thank you, Treasury and Sushi. Honorable members, I have a question to Treasury. Anything that's not clear, please be short. Yes, Honorable Mashek.
The second on the looking up then is the presentation from Treasury. And now to check on the performance information. The figures that we are seeing here, they're supposed to be actual figures, especially on the school nutrition. And now, anybody knows that children, especially from the lower grades, and then there are dropouts of humor. But why should we see a constant figure from quarter one to quarter two, the figures that are really the same and moving forward? How is it possible? The scholar transfer. And where you are going to be the grade one, grade two, so ahead. How is it possible that the number of children that you are seeing in the first court will be exactly the same as those that you are seeing in the third court? Are we saying that there are no dropouts, there are no teenage pregnancies that make children to fall out of the class? What happened? Because we know on the ground that these things are there. I'm actually asking the chair, asking a person in the field of information, whether we are definitely not getting a calculator produced figure for voting for compliance only, but they just don't really talk to the actual figures of what is happening on the ground. That's what I'm just saying.
Thank you. Any other questions?
The issue on migration noted, but particularly the schools, when people go to the big cities, do they only go to the government, only know about them when they need for a clinic or a school, as the local government's basic thing, they have to supply the basic services, but the other services like the schools, the library, the provincial district, you know, the police station, the hospital, where is that captured in between the census time? Or do we wait for the next census just to find out there's another one in an hospital somewhere in Asia that is not planned for? So I just want to know how do we how can we plan for that then?
Honorable Moses.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, we welcome the extra 9.6 billion, but the Chair is giving to the rest of our team. But now, in the light of the challenges that we face with respect to the health, I would like to find out if this amount is going to be purchased, you know, the health problems that we have, suffering.
The money you've got, don't spend money that you haven't got. So the provinces will have to look at the learners in grade 9 and 10, because the budget cycle goes in 3 years, there's a year budget to help teachers. So the planning must be continuous. That's one of the issues we are finding in provinces with our engagements with the provincial ministries. Then appropriations when they zoom into the specific provinces. Mr. Shishi, if I heard you correctly, you say the projections are that the provinces will underspend by 6 billion rand. 6.5 billion rand underspending. Reaching back to the planning referring to the priorities set by the government. So, yes, we will have to leave that up. We have to leave that up. You may respond, Mr. Shishi, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members of the Commission. On the issue of the personal and non-financial performance figures and the Ministry of Information, there's two things that we have found on it. We regularly inform publish the information. Now, by the way, we've asked and we have requested, and they're doing it, that each of the nine provinces also publish their own information so they take accountability for it as well itself. But there's two issues. The one is that, yes, there have been instances in the past where there's a bit of a copy of evidence, for sure. But there are also issues, which is one of the probably a bigger issue, which is that the way in which some school nutrition programs are run is that the department deliberately pre-selects a certain number and simply deliver to that number. And so they actually, what they do is, if for instance, they are going out on tender, to award a tender for somebody to deliver food and whatever, like that tender has decided to use an agency to do it, rather than actually do it in a particular school. Basically, this is the number it will be, and then it ends up being that number. That supplier supplies food for that number, and sends a report to the department saying, this is the number I supply for. And so that tends to also happen. Those are the two elements of it. But the issue of the credibility of the figure is something that we are constantly working on to try and improve it, because there have been issues about it in a number of problems. But those are the reasons why the numbers look good in the team. It's often the pre-setting of tenders and the supply and numbers. On the question of what was the response of the provinces to the issue of the projection, let me answer the question like this. When we, in the past, when we used to provide these briefings on provincial finances to council, parliament, and other forums, etc., what we used to do is we used to say, we put in the model, in the reporting model, the provinces was used. They must say, this is the projection of where I think I'm going to be. We used to simply take that and we used to say, here's the projection, and we used to just simply put it out there. But my own feeling, when I came into this this unit, the National Treasury, was that this was a problem, because it was clear that we couldn't take ownership of what we were saying, because the numbers are not credible. So we made a decision that we are going to say that the numbers are not credible, and that we're going to go to the province and we're going to say to them that, look, it's this thing. And the provinces have agreed, the nine provincial treasuries have agreed that it needs to be fixed and that it's a problem. So there is a process to obviously sort out the projection at that level, at the provision level. If I can come here, and I can say, my team and I have done an assessment and we believe the problems are actually underspent by 6.57 billion. But the problem is still remaining that the people who are sending the numbers are still not taking ownership of the prediction, even though I'm saying what I'm saying. So we still need to get the provinces to do a better job of prediction. And a resolution has been taken at the technical level by the nine heads of treasury, that they will go back and they will address this as a project to fix it. On the question by Honourable Joseph about how does the government know about migration and what have you, obviously the census measure is only once every 10 years. But within that period of time, there are various data, mostly the statistics are out there. There's a community survey that takes place every few years. But also they are what we call WhatsApp essay called Media Population Estimates, that we publish every year. And you can go to the SAP essay website, you can get them every single year. Every year you can get data from SAP essay on what numbers are estimated to look like for the South African population, disaggregated by province, disaggregated by the number of cases by district municipalities, and so on. So for 7 bodies we do get that data from SAP. We also get data from the National Department of Education, basic education, about the enrollment number of learners. And so we use that in the report data. We also use data from the district health system to determine patient load, etc., in each of the non-provinces. So our data that we use. Will the 9.6 billion rand be enough to address the problem in our case? 9.6 billion rand sounds like a lot of money to me, but we'll obviously have to see. The issue of budgeting is about balancing the fact that there aren't unlimited resources. So the 9.6 billion rand is money that was in terms of what we assessed from the data needed to move from other provinces. So I suppose if you said to me that in order to pay for absolute everything the country wanted to pay for in health for instance, they needed more than that, it would be difficult for me to argue that that's not the point. The point of budgeting is to balance what you do within the resources that are available. You cut things that are unnecessary, that are non-core, you reduce inefficiencies in the system and so on and so forth, but that you stay within budget because money, unfortunately, is not unlimited, and it's not just a problem that South Africa faces, it's a problem that South Africa faces. We don't have unlimited resources. We have to work within the means that are there. And then that comes, of course, to the point that Honorable Deal was mentioning about the financial, managing the financial resources. You've got people that are saying we're going to overspend. We are saying we don't think that you will overspend. But we also say something else beyond the fact that we don't think that you're going to overspend. We are saying that we think that there's certain decisions that you can make that can mitigate. So it's not very well and good to say, I've got this pressure. And if I continue doing things the way I'm doing it, I'm going to pass the budget. But the question that we're asking is, why do you have to continue doing things the way you're doing them? Why don't you change things and build those efficiencies? Because if you do that, you will find, I mean, in a developing country context, South Africa is not exactly lacking in resources if we can just manage those resources and more efficiently. We've got a lot of money in education, we've got a lot of money in health compared to other countries, and we can manage, or we can get better bang for our buck on that money if we become more efficient. The provinces need to do that. They need to become more efficient.
Thank you, Mr. Shishi. Very important to these two provinces. I'm present here today on the 27th of February. The Minister of Finance will brief the Finance Committees, the Appropriation Committees in both houses. And the invitations will be sent out to the Appropriations Committee, which finance will begin with fiscal framework, revenue proposals, preparations with the Division of Revenue. Tackling that process before Parliament arrives in the terms for the elections. So just like that, of that, we acknowledge and recognize the presence of the FFC, Deputy Chairperson, Mother and his team, not come again. And please state you are here, but you will have 7 minutes left. Just take a look at that. Okay. The economic upswing of South Africa. And years ago, there was an advert on TV. Before morning arrives, was televised. That Gauteng is an economic heartthrob of Africa. But that advert was taken away. Very quiet. I still remember. Although any seat, you are very welcome. We're going to keep you at the province that you must address us, to serve you to the hotspots and issues. Welcome again.
Thank you very much. We still do have 10% of the GDP. But let me start by really apologizing to all the national press, Jake, to the members and the chair, and the assembly. I think it could have been just being oblivious of certain things, but in our program here, not understanding the national strategy, thought would be presenting between 14 hours and 14 hours going by. So we had enough time. So when I came here, I realized that I didn't get anybody outside. But I think our problem. Thank you. I'm going to just deal with some five deals. Okay. Yeah, so that's really the context of or the context of our presentation, basically dealing where we are now in quarter three with regards to equitable share, conditional grant, and what expenditure has been that is there to date, and what is the stage of the required funds and the sum of funds requested against the budget at the second quarter, the payment of the invoices, as well as where we are as far as the whole revenue is concerned. What is it that has been made to do it, and what the expenditure overall for GPG is, and lastly the recommendation. If I were to start there, you will see that we've got a provincial equitable share, conditional rights scheme. That means in the last the third quarter, those other amounts that were received nationally, and as well as also a conditional grant, and you will see the expenditure and what issues are. Let me just explain properly the next one. You see that at the 31st of December, we already have received 61 million, both from National Treasury and from our own, which is basically own revenue. Of the cash received from National, basically amounted to 46 million, but it's a conditional grant, 9.9 million. For the old revenue, that's the amount that we've collected so far. You see later on against what you think that we are going to reach that goal and possibly even move on top of it. More than about total provincial receipts, that's the amount. So that's the last point there. During the same period, and the whole GBG department projected to spend 5.8 million. But that's the amount that was requested is 58.6 million altogether. If you look at the reinforced part, and I'm just going to go down to the total there, and just to explain, year to date, an amount of 3 billion has been reinforced as part of what I understand. The majority of this is traditional grants, 2.2 million, right? Infrastructure projects accounted for 278 million, right? Critical services. You'll see that the art department, and I'm going to come back later to that, where they're not utilized to the extent that we want the reinforced resources. Human services, if you want to see what we share, our support or sell of what we do, education, health, and transport. So that's basically on the green side of the search quarter. So I was just explaining that one for the end of the for the public. Edgar, if you go to the next one, Edgar is already in the area. As indicated, by now, I think provinces of the department should have the proportion to be spending much 75% of the budget. Now, this is where we are at the province, at 73%. It means we're just below what it is to be spending. And that's great deals with the department that others are spending, others are underspending, others are spending. Now we have the grid of everything here. So it means these numbers will change, particularly in the fourth quarter, to the other because of the intervention of Treasury and Cabinet as a whole. So that's the amount that is one there, and that's the percentage of our expenditure, which is 75 as such. So that's really a thing. Those departments you will go to the next one, and they are lagging behind in terms of expenditure. Office of the Premier, 63%, Local Government and Traditional Affairs, Department of Housing, which have come back to growth, and finance as well. If we go to the next one, you will see that, that the following fragments catch the harmony of the whole band of the country in the entire country. We explain the coming of the following economies in 81, 7, and how they in 77. Now, with DED, which is the coming of the which is a transfer that has to be made to the agent, that's how they fragment the economy of the this one was how they were to basically aid an African government on the confession language invoice that we so those are payments that were had to make on how to research. If we have to go to own affairs, then it's own affairs, own revenue. Now you will see there where we are at the third bottom, which is 3.2 million red on land. But tells you that the contributing department to their own revenue. One is roads and transport, which is the key one. There are a lot of reforms that have been put here in terms of using the post office for getting licenses and all that. Sorry, that are everything. Helping economic development in terms of gambling and all that. Fees which we can have, and then treasure. So, if a fund is holding revenue, we think that we're doing fairly well. That is the next one. That's the narrative of this. You will see there that our projection for 1640 is for that over 4 million, right? Which basically shows an increase of 90 million rather compared to 1280. Now, as you can see there, that's the amount that we have collected. So it means again here we are within reach and it's possible that we are starting to go more and above what that is there. On the payment of invoices, this is the issue here. And there have been emergence of invoices saying that 11, 12 financial years before. And they basically around the Department of Health, Education, Housing, and Department of Infrastructure. So that's basically what we are worried about. During the third quarter, it was just 31 billion registration, 12 cases, and power application, like this, the service provider. Now, there's another, I think, report that I think we will bring as far as the payment of suppliers within 30 days. As a province now, we're just over 90% of them within, or users in quite a huge group of payments around that. So, but the treasury and finance were reprioritizing all the issues. If you go to the next one on the summary of expenditure, GPC. And again, there you see that, the first one there, the report we get from national and the adjusted and at the end of the adjustment of 9 billion altogether. And we'll explain that the chair could explain things like what we were earlier on about why the big adjustment we could bring to the cabinet of the fighting process and the commission as well. But that's 72-73%. Let's also explain now, you see the over 27.5, it's around the 5, even the next one, look at the next one there. So we've had the adjustment in everything else. But you look at goods and services in health, the main issue there, the procurement of learner, teacher support materials, compensation of employees, infrastructure delivery in education, the provincial growth maintenance grant and also how to raise the issue and the extension of the housing online project. Now, let me just also explain because that contract is off now. This project, the month on month, until we concretize and we move forward with what we call e-learning solution. It's something that goes beyond housing online. So we have to deal with this. So, the contract is not there anymore, but that's to pay amount to month. So overall, that's the amount, percentage that we actually spend If you to go to the next one, that's the proper. You start with them, the next one. Yeah, this one. If you start to have the elements of the human development problem, all that, but also the issue of accruals, that that you deal with, you don't have to have this concept. On the education, that is the amount that the man spending and the price of the goods and services. And on the office of the trainer, the trainer related on the state funeral, that will have to be in the course of the financial year. And lastly, also the transport for professional budget. The next one is more on infrastructure expenditure. Now, when we concluded, so the 8.5 billion is the amount that we put for expenditure on infrastructure. And the adjustment went up to 9.3 altogether. We are at 64% in the current expenditure on that one. We are monitoring the thing everywhere. We're not keeping that same. We are at 54. You can see that's fine. So if you look at the narrative of that, the next one. So basically, there we're saying GPT infrastructure program as a college expenditure, that is 5 billion, right? Which is really at 64% of the end of the present. And basically, we're projecting to spend another 5.1 billion in the remaining 3 months of the foundation. So we'll come back. That particular is far as housing is concerned. So you'll see that the Department of Human Settlement for roads and transport infrastructure contributes to the project of urban expenditure outside. So we'll see what the National Treasury is saying to work together to be successful here. On education, which has recorded expenditure of 56%, whilst it has recorded expenditure below at the end of the quarter three. And the trade is on the regional ground is only 5% and 58% of the estimated profit share. So at the end of the day, I think the issue that's being raised here is that the projection for the remainder of the financial year may not be commensurate with the pace of the delivery. Is concerned. So if you look at the 3 months that is remaining, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. So focus on human settlement health, roads and infrastructure. Sometimes you think it's unrealistic, but there is a lot because the main content of all this is really in the health, it's not in the human settlement. I think it's about 1.7 million. But we actually worked around that very well. So those are the issues that we think we should raise. If we can go straight to conditional grant expenditure, there you see main allocation there 15.5 and the grant 15.8 altogether. The expenditure so far yet to date is 2%. The remaining we got it out in the last financial year. So, as of the 1st of December, DPG as a whole has spent 9.8 billion of the 15.9 billion adjustment. While that is recorded a high expenditure, education, infrastructure grants at 96%, good nutrition at 94%, land care at 78%. On average, health grant spending is at 60% low infrastructure spending. And also the roads issue. But I think the important issue here is the health facilities, the realization grant, something that we can explain roads as well as the mental health insurance. So all in all, that's really the less quarter of the profits. So, and basically, Jeff will really explain thoroughly the project over expenditure and whether that is really speak about that. We take note of the slow progress on the delivery of the infrastructure as such. We have had to come up with huge intervention in the past, especially human settlement is concerned. So the premier has had to intervene and basically remove the health department and bring somebody from the premier office, bring Jeff to work with the CFO, because we thought that the non-expenditure is very high. I think the last 3 weeks of hope, I think we've turned things around on that. So we are left with 300 million rand in terms of ensuring that the dispatch will go now, share the project. So we will not worry. I think we're going to work it out anyway. So what we have now is 300. And that was the result of the deciding intervention from the premier. Hands-on approach at the
I think the unending story of accruals is still there, but I can really tell the committee that there has been huge development as far as that is concerned. We have came to the numbers that we have put them down significantly, authorized expenditure down. So, as far as we're concerned, the finances are fairly well manageable now, except the over expenditure. It's just that thing.
The graph for the fourth quarter is going to be like that. That's exactly what you're saying.
I think MHS has a comment on the over expenditure of 1.5 billion. One of the things that MHS alluded to is around the health. If you look at the over expenditure in health, which is projected, it's a billion. However, if you take it into context from the point of view that says that when you look at the year, we were sitting with an accrual of 1.5 billion. And accrual is simply that it was just taking money allocated for one particular financial application thing that it is happening in previous. Therefore, the budget that we had was not able to cater for what we were able to cater for, hence the accrual of the billion. But if then you look at the net effect, it simply means that if we do not have accrual for 1.5 billion, we will not be talking about over expenditure of the billion in the matter of health, because the net effect will have been an under-expenditure of about 500 million or so, or as if we are able to address some of the challenges that are being here. Then the second biggest one is about education, and education is with regard to the personnel. I think the MSC alluded to that. We see that changes to the personnel, and it is not more about not managing personnel, but it's more about the process that was alluded to by treasury, national treasurer, and also members with regard to recommendation that is coming to the province. And as far as it deals with the general numbers and also the post establishment of education in terms of the general situation that we have to address when we look into the two in particular. So another point that was made earlier on with regard to adjustment, by our adjustment looks high, the 3.5 billion, that is just going to compromise the stability of the budget. I would say no. Let me start. And to the point that says, well, you might have alluded to, and I think even the members spoke to it today. When you look at education, let's take an education example. The chance that you will expect that, you know, you will know exactly how many people you have with care of later that you have in the next financial year, where you only look in terms of the number that you have in the system. That is true. Yes. However, in housing, because you deal with a different take altogether because of immigration, you will actually make and bring a budget. Remember, in education, we have a school year or a calendar year that is really different from the financial year. Therefore, the budget that we table in March, which deals with the financial year. It tends to be affected with what happens within the calendar year. And I'll give an example. Let's take in housing for the housing. In general, when we open, or when the school open, there's about 40,000 that have actually that come into the system. Which bandit will have actually taken care of that advantage, which we are not planned for, because we are now on the fourth quarter of the financial year, but it's the first quarter of the academic year. Therefore, it makes sense to say, when you see that indeed the budget that actually would have actually planned for will not have taken care of some of these things because of the difference of the year, academic year and the school year, you would actually go and start to do something in adjustment to be able to cater that which actually happened in the fourth, in the first quarter of that particular academic year and the fourth quarter of the financial year. That is just like the teachers at least we are dealing with, and we can, it will not be caused by at least being with the budget scribble, can be able to budget a stable budget for education in March. Meanwhile, you have been able to immigrate, which are you, who will come from the fourth quarter of that particular financial year, then you have to deal with it in that particular way. As you see the adjustment, if you were to at least break it down, you will find that 1.4 billion at least of May for the adjustment went to the full education. The second biggest one was around, and everyone is the issue of saying, do you allocate the budget even when you see that, you know what, there are things that still need to be done. And here it deals with issues around your original requirement, like if this were there in the house, and you say, let's not go and deal with it and be sure that indeed this will at least be dealt with. And the second biggest allocation of adjustment went into the budget of growth and comfort, and with that dealing with the operational requirement of the house. The third biggest one was around what Andrew has already spoken about today. At the time when the contract came to an end for the housing online, we were supposed to migrate to the evening air solution. However, there were things that needed to be done. So what we did was to say that we would go on a month-to-month basis, have a similar cash move, because you do not want to disrupt it. That's what we're saying, by moving from one to another. You must at least have a proper smooth migration in the next one. And therefore, we have at least to deal with the month-to-month extension of the contract, which at least amounted to 1.3 million. Then when you look into it, it might look a little cheap, but then when you walk into specifics, you start beginning to understand exactly why it is better than 3.5 million. It never, it does not mean that the budget of the table is not credible. It's because the way it is that the table is dealing in terms of dealing with the customer. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the inner point that is being raised by National Australia on the government. I think it's on how the issue is there. That's why it's true. No. Yeah, it's true. That's just to explain, we picked up that number ourselves, which is 1,064 teachers. And I think where we are coming to now is that actually those are resignations and retirements. And the Department of Education down there, the district and the school level, may be replacing those. It's not what you call new posts and all that. And it's something that we are really following up. The last one, it is our view, and we've been meaning to even talk to the minister, that the budget, the baseline thing of education is not up to scratch. And so it's something that we really need to focus on. It's because in our view, we think it continues to be a runaway train.
Thank you, MEC, your team, for that analysis. I just want to sensitize one of the members to the screening on the commission grants. The two provinces, the members of the Finance Committee in front of you, are also members, different members of the appropriations. The extra appropriations then zoom into each department individually. The spending on the conditional grants, the rates are not numbered, but there is some concern here. Highest expenditure are the following on conditional grants, education, school nutrition, land care. The grants will not be spent until at the bottom of the page of the facility by utilization and no grant of facility. for my suggested explanation for that, honourable members. We're going to take three states now. Please note your questions. Listen to three states, and after that we will engage with the two branches. If you see or hear, as you should get the opportunity to make an input, and again, Mr. Sheesh. Next up, my neighbor, I'm in the northern head. Take our next 2 years. Welcome again. You can see, make an apology. Don't be so.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Fellow members. Let me also apologize to Chairperson for his coming late to the this morning that we always present him together. In fact, we thought we were ready.
Finance needs basically here, but in the meeting to listen to this, because that is the communication between National Treasury and Provincial Treasury and Parliament. So that's the main objective. That's why we want to stop the time. And it's all the old players are in the same room at the beginning of
it. Thank you. That's what it's on the chapter. The presentation of the free states, we could go to the next slide. The layout of the presentation, we'll be talking to the central of the stakeholder expenditure and budgeted outcome, specifically the performance reinstatement and new classification, the additional grants and infrastructure spending, historical trends on stakeholder expenditure. We'll run part on that presentation or on that on those slides, Jefferson, between 2010 and 2013. Interprovincial comparisons on stakeholder expenditure, measures to mitigate risk of overexpenditure, third quarter on revenue collection, and projected outcome, interprovincial comparisons on own revenue collection from 2011 to 2013, and the summary. So, personally, this slide of the expenditure and department indicates for us the top part of the slide is indicate that 73% of our budget constitutes only social services spending, that is the SHE department, education, health and social development, and the budget thereof is 19 million, and the province has spent 14 million of that on social spending, and our percentage of expenditure is 26%, which is about the normal 5%, and mainly this is due to the Department of Education, as the National Salary has indicated, and AMA also indicates, Chairperson, that the Department of Education in the state has projected an over expenditure of 1.1 billion, of which the greater portion of that amount is basically compensation of employees. We'll talk further to that, Chairperson, to indicate what are the actions that we are taking to ensure that the impact. Unfortunately, it seems this is the problem that we will not be able to solve within one financial year. This has been growing over the years, but I think we are in control of the situation, though, yes, the province would overspend on education in the current financial year. The Department of Health projected over expenditure of 43 million. We have in the province the turnaround strategy to deal with these issues. Mainly this is due to the accruals of the previous financial year, but we have some also measures in place to improve the efficiencies and eliminate waste within the health system, and I think this would yield positive results for us. And on non-social spending, this carries about 7% of our provincial budget. We've noticed, Chairperson, that we are at 73%, and the average expenditure of the existing provincial government is 5.4%, which is basically within the normal 75%. We can skip that slide to the next one. The next slide, just indicates with a flip page, projected over 20 times mission to other provinces. We are projecting 1.3 billion. We will be reducing this amount, Chairperson, and that in itself constitutes 33% of the 3.9 billion projected over expenditure in the country.
Next slide.
This slide indicates, Chairperson, how have we been performing as a province over the years, starting from 2010-11, till 2013-14, during the third quarter of the year. You will notice, Chairperson, that in 2010, on the Department of Social Services spending, we started at 69%, and we started growing towards 75%. Through the accession of 2012-13, where we exceeded with 17.6%, the main contributors being education and health. And in the current financial year, it's only education that has gone beyond the 25% mark. And education, the Department of Health has now gone down to 73.6%. And I believe that the measures that we have put in place are beginning to give some results for us. So indeed that Jefferson pulled down our expenditure on the first quarter from 78.6 in the previous concern, 76.2 in the current financial year. On non-social spending services, in the current financial year, the Department of Police and Urban Transport has spent already 79.3%, and if you look at traditionally how this department has been spending over the years, they have always spent above 25% due to some of the issues that were raised by Mr. Sishi there on the 23 roads that were now reduced to 11 roads, and we believe that we are now in a position to close this 23 roads issue that has been bothering the province. We are left with about 120 million just to special whatever is outstanding. I don't know, Mr. Sishi, I did not hear this issue of the 420 million coming forth in the presentation. On the 9th of just would like to mention to the committee that on the 9th of January, the 15th Department of Police and Social Transport received 420 million flying in the bank account, and it was meant to address the the money that was previously allocated to the department and taken away. So we still are waiting to clarity from National Secretary as to what needs to happen, because the money is not being allocated, but it was meant for the current function.
Well, I argue that's why it's important to be present in a meeting. Thank you very much today.
And the one of the departments that's already above the 25% mark is the Department of Sports, Arts, Culture and Recreation. That we are positive that this department is not being overspending during the current financial year. If you look at the economic classification, Chairperson, that's where in the next slide, yes. That's why you would notice that the province projects an overexpenditure of 339 on compensation of employees, which is basically the amount that comes from the Department of Education, and goods and services, 182 million. And on transfers, there is an over expenditure projection of 288 as well, and clearance of capital assets, we are projecting an over expenditure of 34.1 million. We are working very hard, Chairperson, to deal with this over expenditure projections. The Department of, for instance, the Department of Public Works has projected that they will overspend 112 million, but during our discussions with them, we established that was this 112 million is actually a risk, in that it consists of money that was supposed to be paid to services of municipal services. Unfortunately, the government won't be able to bring municipalities about 100 million. The reason being that the taxes are growing at a much higher rate than the CPI, growth that we are receiving as on one of the chair. And we are addressing that issue, but the risk that we see in work is that by year end we don't have taken municipality of 100 million. And if we can go to the next slide. The current payments, Chairperson, over the years, you would notice that we have been initially below the 75%, and on current payments until 2011-12, 2012-13, and now we are at 77.5% on 2013-14. And the transfers are in control. We think that we would be able to deal with this projected over expenditure during our discussions we admitted that we need to take some steps to address this or fix this over expenditure projections. And spending on compensation, slide 9. This is just that an analysis of our expenditure here. The Department of Education's compensation basically or consists of 50% of the provincial budget, and the Department of Health 32.9% of the provincial budget, and the Education Department's compensation consists of 2.9% of the total compensation within the province, which is really high as this subsidiary has indicated. One of the measures that will be taken is that the department is considered now to amend its learner-teacher ratio, to increase it so that at least they can start working on reducing the number of teachers within the system. The Department of Health, we still believe also that while they are at 60%, we need to look at especially the administration thereof, the overtime that is spent within that department to reduce the compensation within the Department of Health. We believe that through efficiencies that can reduce. And we believe that the rest of the other departments are fitting within a controllable situation. This slide, Chairperson, compares the spending on compensation with other provinces. You will notice that Free State projected over expenditure is relatively way too high, 838. We are taking cognizance of that, and you have mentioned previously that we're working on that. Through the presentation, you will notice that there are other steps additional to what I mentioned already that we are taking as a province. We have also proposed to the budget holder that in order to alleviate the pressures that are within the Department of Education, that we should rather put a moratorium on appointments of employees within all the departments. The school of contract will be a resolution as such, so there won't be appointments in the state until the beginning of the financial year. And we are also considering to appoint a compensation analyst just to look at compensation to down within every department to address also issues that were raised on administration, whether don't we have too many support staff, instead of allocating the resources to the core of our business.
So if you appoint an analyst, you are really projecting an overspending. How are you going to pay that person? You will have to pay a job like what has been done in the form. That is an existing purpose. You will have to do it.
That's correct.
in fact, that is one of the initiatives that we are taking. We have proposed that to the Nkota, so Nkota, and we are agreed that we should go through that process. Thank you. Sure. Next slide. Spending on public services, Chairperson, you will notice that during the third quarter, the Department of Health projects that it will overspend by 42, but I indicated that we are putting measures in place to deal with that. I think some of the issues that were raised in the previous financial year related to the location, how we dispense location, the very same cycle of procuring until we dispense the medication to ensure that we do not have any medication that expires whilst on our shelves and all that. I think we are doing quite well. We are very close to the Department of Treasury. And we've got task teams looking specifically at different areas where we believe that we can gain some efficiencies. I mentioned that the Department of Public Works will not overspend this one, 102, but it's a sort of concern, hence it has been highlighted as it is, and it's in the province. The next one. In comparison with the rest of the other provinces, we are projecting an overexpenditure of 182 on goods and services, and the country's projected overexpenditure on goods and services is 1.6 billion. The next slide, I will not basically talk too much to this slide because I think National Treasury has given us the broader perspective, and as we should move to slide 40. This slide just breaks down the capital transfer, capital asset, that is our capital spending as a province. Chairperson, on capital transfers, we are thinking at 64.4%, which is below the norm, and capital assets are at 3.3%, and our total expenditure on CAPEX is 3.7%. And I can confirm, Chairperson, that there will not be any over expenditure on CAPEX with the current financial year. And we will skip the next slide as it talks to expenditure information for other provinces. The spending on conditional funds, the Chairperson has indicated a concern of under expenditure on conditional grants and agriculture grants. We have spent 52.4% of the budget. Our budget is 207, and mainly the cost is, you know, that's an area where we have not spent much, and some of the issues obviously relate to the withheld funds on cash, but I will not elaborate on that. We will be spending our EPWP integrated grants for provinces within the Department of Agriculture, so we are confident that Chairperson will spend about 80% on agriculture. The Department of Education expenditure is very low on grants. That was by the end of December, but there's been an improvement on spending in the current quarter, or in the fourth quarter. We have spent 34% of our budget, and the infrastructure grants are 49%, and most of the unspent grants were related to the transfers, but we have paid, already now about 80% of the transfers. So we are confident that by year end we have spent on the conditional grants on education. Department of Health, we are at 4.8%, which is a great concern for us, Chairperson, and our
what I believe is that there is a challenge, especially on the department to spend on its vitalization, as it becomes most of the budget for the bigger weight. The expenditure rate is 9.5%, and we believe that the department is moving very slow. We have raised our concerns with the department, and we expected them to come up with measures to expedite the construction of the hospitals. I think there's one hospital in Domstead that was supposed to be completed, and there are a few delays with the completion of that process. The spending on still on conditional grants for sport of culture and recreation, we are at 32% there, and we believe that Chairperson will be able to spend all this money, most of it related to the community library services. There were delays, the project started very late, but measures have been put in place to ensure that those libraries are completed before the end of the financial year. The Department of Public Works on UPWP grants have spent 27.5%, which is basically the budget is very small, 7.1%. We have received a confirmation that yes, this money will be spent. The police roads and transports.
Yes, don't give words for a second. Until all of these.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're misreading the table because we're quoting the projections. The percentage of the you already spent. Maybe I'm reading this table incorrectly. So, working for either public works, they're actually going to just 52.5% for either, not 27.5% is what I'm anticipated for the
fourth quarter. And this is what we spent in the fourth quarter.
I am reading it correctly. It's just not the one.
Can we go to the questions? Thank you
for
sensitizing us.
The figures on the column 7, as the honorable member has indicated, is basically what would be spent in the fourth quarter, what is left to spend before year end, and what was spent on the budget is on column 6. The DPIA has spent 64%, that is economic affairs, social development, has spent 20.7% and social development on EPWP. We are doing very interesting on EPWP. We started very late as a promise on EPWP, but the MEC for finance wants all the meeting between all the departments as well as the municipalities to ensure that we start improving on our expenditure on the feed and machine, and we believe that we will have registered even by the end of this month a lot of progress on the feed and machine expenditure. Then settlement, we have spent 5.1% in the third quarter, and we have spent in total 67.3% of our financial grants in the process. I would request that Chairperson we speak slides 18 and 19, which are comparable with other provinces on our expenditure, because that has been presented by National Treasury Authority. And the expenditure on infrastructure, our budget, being 2.6 billion already, we have spent 1.7 billion, which translates, which is 7.2%, and what is remaining to spend in the 3 months is 922.3%, and we are confident that we will be spending all this money by year end. Chairperson, the next slide talks to the cost containment measures. We have started in 25 October already with cost containment measures in the province, and they have assisted us a lot in that we have reduced tremendously our expenditure estimation on non-core items, and the approach was to set the uniform limits on unidentified non-core items,
and since the introduction of the new cross-containment measures by Labour Secretary on the 1st of December, we have been complying, and we have also issued a new discussion notes to ensure that we align ourselves with the national discussion notes. And the action that we are taking as a province to strengthen monitoring of budget execution in the province, our senior monitoring feedback letters are written to accounting officers of departments and the CFOs. We are issuing discussion notes, and the working projection that we do not agree with, we send back, we analyze and send back to the departments for correction, and we present our monthly reports to forward and to ESCO on a quarterly basis. And we are introducing also stricter measures to enforce fiscal discipline within the department. I should mention that the Department of Education is one of those departments that we have already blocked the system, so that before we can make payments, they must sit down with us as treasury to ensure that what they are paying for is what they should be paying for, and that is, should be in line with the budget, checkers, and because already if we would not have intervened to believe that our situation could have been worse, perhaps the process could be on an overcharge facility or something. So from the cash perspective, we believe that we are managing well our finances, especially in regard to the climate of education that is overspent. And additional measures that we are putting in place, compilation and analysis of monthly personnel reports. Jefferson, that's where our compensation analysts come in. The quality and monthly control matrix, the general strategy of health as indicators, the interventions by the NEC and the Premier on expenditure by departments. And this is long, so I'm not going to go through all the measures that we have taken and the initiatives that we have taken as the province. But as mentioned, that the special focus at this moment is to ensure that we spend money where it's supposed to be spent, and we have also tabulated here from slide 27 the objectives of the general strategy within the health departments. There are quite a number of focus areas that we have identified: the financial stability, efficiencies, the enhancing of governance, infrastructure and service delivery. I would not go through that in detail if Jefferson allows me. Slide 50. These are some of the measures that we have taken with Jefferson. As I've mentioned, the list is very long of the initiatives that we have taken as producers to ensure that we reduce expenditure within the province. I think we should go to slide 36 and focus on revenue. The budget of the province on revenue is 856, and the major income comes from the Department of Police, Road and Transport, in license fees and all that. Department of Health only collects 149 million of that, and we have collected 4.8% of our revenue in the third quarter, and we believe that we'll exceed our target given the initiatives that have been taken within the departments to ensure that we enhance our revenue. And the next slide, chapter in depth explains why the deviations on revenue. I will not go into those details, the chapter soon allows you, because our presentation is far too long. If we are to talk to the figures, we can go to slide 39. where we have indicated how have we been collecting over the importers, pay departments. The Department of the Premier is at 58.2%, which is below the norm of 75%. And I must just indicate that the Department of Police, Roads and Transport have already collected 391 in the third quarter of the current financial year. And the next slide is just a graphical representation of how we have performed from 2010-11 to 2013-14. During the third quarter, we were at 75% in 2010. We moved to 76 to 70.3 and 70.5, which shows that there is gradual improvement on our revenue. And the strategy that we have adopted as a province, chairperson, is that 5% of our own revenue will be allocated to revenue enhancement projects. And we are currently spending 4.4 million on the revolt investments, which is one point that we believe would enhance our revenue in the province. The McKen Dairy Revival, this is a dairy, the agricultural college, we are spending 4.7 million, and the contractor has been appointed there. We expect that once that dairy has been vitalized, then we'll be able to generate more money. We are trying to improve the efficiencies within the health system, especially on AMPs, the electronic booking system for our Department of Economic Affairs, especially on the resorts. And our proposed projects, the new projects that are proposed right now, the reassessment of the Selma tariffs, so we believe that we can generate more money than we have benchmark. And the stream that our province is citing far lesser than the rest of the other provinces. And advertising and government buildings is one of the options that we are considering as a province. And slide 42, Chairperson, I would only go through the narratives and I look there. I indicate that in relation to our population size and in comparison with the other provinces, like the fifth highest, and in relation to the size of the economy compared to other provinces, we are second highest, and in relation to the provincial budget, we are the third highest. And revenue in relation to the size of the economy in 2012-13, we are second highest, and in relation to the economy in the current financial year, we are the highest in the country, and then in relation to the provincial budget, we are the fourth highest. This is some of the figures that we are looking at to benchmark with other provinces as to whether are we on the right track on revenue collection or not. And one of the great areas chairperson within the province is the debt management. We believe that our debts are going too fast, and we are sitting at currently by the end of the 2013 year audit results, we are sitting at 102 million of staff and other debts, and this has been growing over the years, but it's now one of the focus areas. The slide 45 is just the breakdown to the department as to how much is owed to this department. And we've got remedial actions as well to enhance that management section of this law. On slide 46, I will not go through all that. Slide 47, in summary, the provincial budget grew from 21 billion in 2010 to 26 billion in 2013-14, a growth of 4.9 billion. And the share of the social spending is 72.6%, and of the additional 4.9 billion invested in the provincial envelope between 2010 and currently, 3.8 billion thereof were channeled towards the social spending. The provincial budget for compensation grew from 12.6 billion to 15.8, which is a huge growth, Chairperson, and that's one of our focus areas.
has mentioned, from the additional 4.9 billion invested into the programs, 3.2 billion was channeled towards compensation of employees. And as finished by the COVID, at the end of December, amounts to 20.2 billion, which is 75.4. I think that was reflected in the earlier slide. And we have indicated already our projected over expenditure, which we feel will be reducing drastically in Jefferson. We believe it will not exceed 800 million, but it's still high for our children. The provincial secretary has pledged all the departments projecting over expenditure to devise actionable mitigation strategies and supports to us regularly. And for all revenue collection, as at the end of December, 7.4% as indicated, and we are working very hard to optimize the revenue from both traditional and non-traditional resources. And provincial secretary, supported by ESCO, will strengthen its monitoring and implementation of cost containment measures as per ESCO directive in the form of provincial secretary flexibility of 45. And that basically concludes our presentation, Chairperson, and we recommend that the committee takes note of our presentation.
Thank you. To the state, yes, we definitely take note of it, but there is a few concerning matters that you highlighted in your presentation. We're going to the business now, honourable members. Please be short and direct with your questions to both provinces. So we're spending 4.4 million on the revolving rest of life. I know that stuff. There's one in Cape Town too, in Chipwine. And it looks like a lot there in 1986. Nothing about that. We're spending that on the rest of life, but we're just spending on job creation. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Also, your debt collection. National Treasury has noted this. The strategy. You'll have to zoom into this. It's a regression of 8% in your debt collection. That's what we're telling the committee. All of the first questions.
My understanding here is that the treasury has got quite a good number of cash.
and need to sell it. And they have to ask for the partners to ensure that they develop it. But again, you have to act like a volatile class as well. And again, that the health of finances in the province is reflected by the health of treasury. This treasury is haywire, is confused, and then you can't expect any financial discipline or arithmetic. Now, on your slide, please, on infrastructure, reading 922 million, that is net. Today we are going to adapt it to 1.5 months or something like that. But you are also convinced that we should spend before the end of March. You are still saying to us that you are convinced that this is going to be spent by the end of March. 922 million. One thing for us. I do have a problem with that, Secretary. And in the other question, of course, is when it comes to EPWP. You are saying that you started late. The question is why? When you've got the budgeted amount for the current year and the outer year, then assessment joking in some of the departments that they could not actually plan. And now it's a surprise they are planning this year. Then while they are planning, they will not do anything. And then we started saying, actually the program is actually this year. Surely something is wrong. Something is wrong, and the planning is day one. Chair, when it comes to how it is, I just need to indicate to you, okay, the under 20 chart, as well as the whole thing that they are going to make better consistency in this as well. But we have knowledge with Khabli, which is sometimes similar to what you say, of actually just transferring money to agents and then report and spend when the money is in the house of your agent. Now, one would love to understand from Khabli what is it that they are going to do that are not money in this body. The money goes out of the province over to the agency. But it's not translated into services. No, it just goes to the agency. But then it's more as cash. And if you want to get understand that this is one. And then the question is when we receive adjustment, but then we are on a trajectory of other expenses. How do you really deal with this? How do you really deal with this? And of course, the quality has already been alluded to is the problem of actuals. That is what I am going to say. You know, expenditure in the previous year, we can actually be very indifferent. So, this money that we're talking about, when we take this money and pay for tax, are we not undermining the integrity of the current platform? Because it's budgeted for specific delivery, and then we are not paying for those, we take the money, pay for something else for the future. What is that? Because it's almost like the problem of financial discipline. And of course, is that with all the promises that we have received, there are going to be a big question. We all know, I mean, we deal with all the problems. We are going to see what we call the mass fight, which is actually digital dying. That's what we are going to see. The promises that we are hearing, a majority of those will be digital dying that's going to happen. Now, we will be done with the politician. We just need to be wary about our own officials who actually send money out and make almost like advance payments, especially to when cash is attacked. They just put advance payments to contract. There's nothing on the ground. That is just payments before the end of March.
that's the problem. So, because actually frustrating the intention and the wound that was made in terms of citizens are in that situation. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you,
Honorable
Mongera.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start with something. What is being done by the official trainer to attract skilled and partners and also partnering with the university in order to, for the next part of studies of skill development and job creation? What are we doing? I'm just struck by this statement on the recommendation, on your recommendation on this migration. You are saying we're taking decisive steps in attempt to fast track the river for the expression in the past. Is this not a shipping statement or is it a practical statement? If you are saying you are still going to take decisive. The one that was it. Another question also on your recommendation, you are saying currently looking at ways to reduce. You are still looking. Is it a search or looking? What are you? Just come up with that. Don't give us a specific question. Let us come to Christian. You are saying that is one of the focus failures. What are you saying? So this is one of the reasons to do what? Come on. Just try to be clear so that you understand. What are you going to do? What are you doing? Another one is, what are those for programs are in place by the Premier Treasury? To strengthen your financial management and all that stuff, what are you doing? The type of human segment shows no scaling of its budget in all three quarters of financial year. Where are these challenges? Where are these challenges emanating from? This is what you see them for three consecutive quarters that are coming up. But what does this thing come from? There must be a place where it emanates from. And it has to catch that. Thank you, sir.
I don't know how will they experience challenges in terms of planning. Because it is an obvious thing. We know that internally, insofar as academic issues are concerned, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 schools, you know that the problem of influx, urban migration, all those things that they're saying, it seems that you know, it's not like they catch you by surprise internally and so on. So it shouldn't be an excuse for poor or better planning. You can still even plan better because you know about the situation. Make your estimation. There are statistics that can assist you with that. But really, I don't understand you. And because I really understand you, I don't buy that. Maybe you should try it a bit better. Yeah. And then, first thing, My questions are limited, Chair, because of the interruption. Not only for health care, for all problems, Chair, but it's fine. Personally, I believe what the police are saying in terms of them going to be able to spend this money. But at the same time, I believe that I'm just confident that the credibility of something can be questioned. So the likelihood that a lot of money would not be spent at the end of March. And there's also a likelihood that that money should be spent by that time. But then the province, I thought that Senators would be in the position to say, because already now, in terms of the 3 months that you're talking about, you're only halfway. Then there will be an indication as to how far you are. You have to talk only this within 3 months. Because you should by now be the chief agency as to where are the departments in terms of the environment, very informed. The remaining 5 weeks of this 3 months. So, but then there's no indication except to say we are confident that we should January and end of March we can spend all the money. But like I'm saying, I believe both the provinces and I also believe the results. One of the two will happen. But we need to be given certainly as to as to what exactly, how far we are. Coming to three things. Further infrastructure. Supposedly, I see the Department of Agriculture has already used the entire budget. And they are going beyond the something like 30%. Now. Why is that allowed to happen? Not only that, it's including public works, they are over about 15%. And you see, they are projecting to close that. Why can't they just stop whatever they are doing and wait for next budget? Why are you allowing this to happen? Yes, they are spending on the infrastructure side, yes, they are, and they are spending on other things. I can see the other opportunity in terms of overall. So the question is, why are you allowing that to happen? Because you have a challenge that initially you will get to public works, insofar as homes were concerned. You remember the school of roads in public works in Zimbabwe, where a lot of roads were commissioned without any funding. Now, you are allowing now agriculture this time around to continue spending for infrastructure. With some of this infrastructure we begin to see the new state fund and stuff like that. I don't want to enter into that, but I'm going to know why. And on education, if you could have explained. You are saying you have to reprioritize some funds from other departments to make up this 8 million for more than in education. But we are not giving us the details as to how much was taken from which department and each and every money for in those departments surely it was meant for a particular or specific purpose. And now with this reprioritization of funds to accommodate extra burdens. Well, what about the original project or tables those funds were allocated for? If you could talk on those, and I think you check and so on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To emphasize the point a little bit about scrapping and accruals, I mean, it's certainly not a reason for overexpenditure to say that the accruals that created this. That they're probably doing is shifting the overexpenditure from one year to another, and that doesn't deal with the basic problem of why the overexpenditure is the whole accrual thing is not an excuse in terms of service to time, because at this time of year we're there any accruals. The other thing is the documents are not confidential, so when this is a public meeting also, I assume the documents are not a confidential document. The terminology in having presentation is it's a uneven help of figure. When we talk about funds that are being requested, does that actually mean funds for the actual payment? And then we talk about ring fence funds. Now, I mean, I know what normally one talks about ring fence funds, but in terms of provincial finances, what is ring fence funds? Are these rollovers that have been approved? What exactly does that mean in terms of the way government finances work? On the contrary, the funds is glossed over, as we've mentioned. What is exactly meant by the Sargent's operational requirements, and what is the value of this? How much is involved here? And then, can I have an explanation of what the Sargent online contract is? What exactly is it? And what would the cost of seem that he moved from the online project to the other one, or to what he done. We talk about that funeral, 70 million overspent. Are we talking about the funeral of former President Mandela? Talks about state funerals and plural. There was also an MEP, I think, which was the most right thing, but let me just get the detail there of which funerals and how much. Chairman, Harting Health and hospitals in particular are in the headlines on a regular basis. Partially thanks to Jeff Bloom, but they are in the science, and but when you see the expenditure on the national grants on the revitalization, one is shocked to see the degree of their spending there. And then I'm afraid I don't have the confidence that Honorable China has that in terms of the spending in the fourth quarter, particularly on the hospital revitalization. I need a lot more detail to be able to be confident that that 513 or 14 million will be spent by March. Now, Chairman, I'm a little bit baffled. There's kind of a very positive report that the Premier stepped in and removed the HIV on human settlement and the Treasury official the CFO. Where would the NEC have felt in the world? That's human settlement, sir. Was he quickly or she simply bypassed and the Premier took control of the department? I'm not sure exactly what we've been taught there. So in terms of National Treasury report, I'm concerned that Harting are contradicting National Treasury. National Treasury are saying there are 1,054 teachers that are unfunded cuts. Harting are telling us that no, they're not unfunded cuts. They are not new posts. They are resignations and retirements. I would have thought that resignations and retirements were funded cuts. Otherwise, how would they be paid? The other question that was raised by National Treasury, which has not been addressed by Harting, deals with the lack of lifestyle costing, particularly of projects like the Welsh Great Hospital. So what is Harting going to do about those operational costs if indeed the National Treasury report to us is correct? So Chairman, he said is a much bigger issue, and we can't really do jump to morning upgrade, but let me try and highlight a few issues. We have 120 million to settle the 23 roads fiasco. What exactly are we spending 120 million on? Is it lifted quotas? Is it okay? Doesn't matter. Need some detail. And then did we say 112 million won't be paid to municipalities? Well, three of the municipalities the last time we visited, many of them weren't going to collapse. Are we saying we just have to stop paying for services because the problem doesn't have the money and yet the municipalities do what then? For 5 years we've been talking about the fact that the province and national departments are not paying new stuff. But they should be paying. And every time we have this report, we say we got fixed it, and we sorted out, and the priest they come and say, we can't pay 112 million. Jim, I've said this before in this meeting, but it really saddens me that so many times we get these great questions. It is talked about what is planned as a task team. It's so seldom do we get a report that says, this is a problem we found, this is what we have done, this is the amount of money we have saved. So seldom. And there are few stages and take guilty of that. Mr. Chairman, may I, no mention is made of the, what I would consider that immoral and wasteful expenditure on the state of the enterprise. Was again in the Guardian last week. What is that costing your profit? Where is it in these figures that you're showing? And how much has it cost? Last time we gathered, MEC Finance for Retail got very angry with me about the website and claims that she couldn't report on. Well, I found that quite intriguing at the time. But perhaps the HOD can tell me what's going on with that website. Who's being held accountable for that website? Chairman, the roads, I asked about 120 million, but the road fiasco is a much bigger issue. I mean, the roads to my province across the Swiss and so far. You can barely get through in a 4x4 and 3.5 years. The road through Miamo, Freda, to Newcastle. People have died on it because of the place of the road across. So, this 20G road fiasco, is it taking care of those shocking road conditions which have a very, very negative impact upon the economy of my property? Or is it great because the cave living problem that people can't get to offer resorts? Cave living problem that industry and commerce can't operate out of new control. Mr. Chairman, the question of expenditure in the last quarter, I think, has been dealt with by this week, so I'm not going to do that. I've made notes here. I can't go to think you're going to spend this much. Let me just flip too quickly and see if there's anything
else.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sure they have more time than that. And let us respect you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I shall wait any further questions.
Thank you. I think other questions have been come up by my colleague, Chairperson. Can I do the little paper? I just wanted to find out from Teja, or anybody that has a comment on the issue on talking on the training of the Greek affected culture. So, the life of that issue is different. How do they see the stress of the intention? That's why the police are concerned. Then, the second question is on Akua. How does it find out when they plan
One on the issue of fear that is being raised
there is a lot of work we're doing with the students. We are in partnership with the Southern Institute of Art and Hamden. We have started to all students who are completing what we are doing, so that they are ready for the work of well outside the school for salary. So that's the best thing. The other, I don't know how to explain it, maybe that could explain it. We have taken an executive decision to see about accruals. And this is something that since 2004, 2005, and we've moved quite a lot insofar as that is concerned. So addressing the same issue of if you don't do that, will negatively affect the small medium enterprise and all that. So that's the issue. Because you must remember that the Department of Health is under administration. So it's under, we're having invoked Section 18 of the PSMA to be able to come in, go in there with the auditing company, the PwC, so that there's a turn around the issues there and payment and all that. So that's a decisive action that we took as an executive. The other one, let me just explain the premier issue. Remember that in the last instance, the premier is the person who authorizes. It's a regular employee by the premier. So what we do, interviews and all that, but at the end of the day, the premier says, that's the business. Not so much the MEC, but this is done together with the MEC. And that's for us a decisive session. Just the last one on my part, you will talk on the housing issue. This issue of projects is very important in the planning, because we have a cycle that is very fine and very predictable, that we should be able to complete the project, conceptualize and everything starting September, October. So that when we read the budget on the 4th of March, those projects are concluded, they're gathered off. What you need is on the first of April is to hit the ground running on the project. Not that you have to start afresh by the coming financial year and all that. And sometimes this issue of a late land results into situation that we are maybe comfortable that we will be able to turn around the issue. Just for the last part is the thing to do.
Okay, thanks, MC. I'll just listen to the raised by Limba Mashir, as if I concern the issue of prosperity and more so on the women's setting. If indeed we want this to transfer, I think our expenditure on human settlement is very high. And the reason why you see that 54 is because we have refused to transfer where we have not yet been satisfied that it's a contract. Despite the fact that when we table the budget, we would have budgeted, by the way. It's not necessarily that we just wake up one morning and go and give the money to them. When you take the budget, you have to put a caveat that it is your transfer amount to the municipality, but you expect them to have well, come back and satisfy that at least they have fulfilled the condition that you have put in place. We have had this good mind that is supposed to go to the municipality. We are not transferring because they have not yet satisfied us. They are able to then to take expenditure on a human settlement, which I can go up to the figure that it is in the plane, but which was taken under a long time ago. Therefore, I just want to assure the committee that we are looking into it to say that we cannot transfer money because if we do that indeed it will certainly cause them to stay in the country. On the adjustment, I think it's something that we can as well collaborate on this particular point. To say adjustment better be the under expenditure. If you want to look at the projection of quarter two, you will see that the housing is projected over expenditure at the time, it was 5.1 billion. And one of the things that it has brought it in down, it was because of the adjustment that we spoke about in 2021. Therefore, there is a relationship between the adjustment that is put in the system and also the collective outcome as we see it in the first quarter. Though we are saying that it might even go down by the time we finish again. The issue that at least you had to raise in the machine is with regard to the aquas, to take it undermine the effect of the budget, and indeed energy is fine. You know, we are moving from a point whereby our aquas were in the eye. Because look at one department, I gave an example all when I was talking about aqua health in particular. There was a time when our aqua were even over effective, you know, we are piercing. And to care that it's going to market them for money, the fish is saying earlier on that money does not go increase, means you must be able to find money somewhere. We have at least managed to at least reduce it significantly to a figure that in the last financial year, it's a 1.5 billion. We're still being a loss because at least our budget is at least able to buy that it's able to buy in a particular financial year. Unfortunately, these are some of the total things that at least we have invested in the printing. The second thing I've at least dealt with a mega machine. Going to the question by member Makubene, the MEC has spoken about the scale of development and expansion in the department. The point with regard to what we are saying when we say we are participating, you will see that that point is specifically with regard to the human settlement. And for him, the MEC has spoken to the decisiveness that was taken by the team in terms of at least removing, making it easy and bring some people there together with myself to go and at least see that what happened. That's the first thing, mechanism that we are referring to. The accrual is because one of the things as well, you have to come to say that I will be researching on aqua. You are not necessarily researching. It's because we are as well looking and saying some of these old thing voices, and we have to put this engine to show us indeed that we are specifically delivered. Also, we do not just want to take whatever thing. That's why we think that we actually can find a way. We are ever improving our thing. We are now living a situation where we attach all these old thing voices to show us indeed we can be able to do work or work or service work just as the government and where that was currently being in housing. Why did this problem exist or from when the problem of human settlement exist and where were we? I think that question is a relevant question. But let's look, and I think here we deal with human beings who as well they have to be sure of the finish within the system. You will remember that last year there was a decision that was taken at the national level to say there would be a level 3 assignment. And how did, because of this nature, we have three measures, which take remaining, city of Johannesburg, and China. And the bulk of the money that is being implemented is supposed to go to these three measures. And the department is structured around this particular region. Therefore, in the second thing, there would be a full assignment to the three measures. And there are people who at least were doing work at the regional level. What happens to them in their mind is to say, we are not secure. They start to try to look for something. I mean, like, the system is, from that particular way, the system is not stable. They try to say, people are not sure what will happen. Because I think then it means that the system will move into the mess of the people who are seeing the region, what will happen to them. And it has a little bit of disturbance in the system, even though we're trying to assure them to say, look, we'll have to be able to deal with that, but I'm saying, human beings, you know, they become unsettled. And that at least would have been as well contributed in terms of at least like, in terms of that we are able to move the state in the manner that it was in the previous year. Because we'll say the performance of this state in human settlement is worse than it was in the previous year. It's because of that effectiveness that at least exists or was created through this process of saying we'll at least do the assignment, the level of application to the method. And how can they be method to say the vitamin? The thing that never can with regard to my explanation, let me explain. And I think maybe I'll be very good to allow me to address the government and I can address the problem with what I'm saying. We know that there will be an influx, but we cannot tell me the influx of how many people. Therefore, in your planning, you don't plan on theory, you plan on what you just carry here. We know that there is something let's say there will be in my beginning. Even that case cannot tell me exactly how many people will be in the system by next 18 months. But at that time, the budget would have been determined. I have an example of saying, in this current academic year, the school year, which opened in January, we had to deal with an additional 40,000 learners that we are not planned for in the system, because we would not have thought or known that at least we'll have an additional 40,000. But the budget of that if not the budget is still coming, it will then go into the fourth quarter of the financial year, remember. So that is the first quarter, but for us it's the fourth quarter. Which means the budget should at least deal with all of those things if the budget has already been tabled. And that is what the downside is. I think when you look in terms of the way the equitable share is best allocated up, we can even talk about it to say, when you look at updating the equitable share in November, you use the numbers of the general registration, which happened now, but in order for the next year, remember, which means you're always in a lag. And that will cause you there. We're not saying there's nothing wrong, but we're saying it should have been updated because of this lag that it is existing in the city. This is exactly what our two explain. The ability of the projection within this agreement that we have said today, and I think we have associated that as well, the credibility is the issue of concern, whether those kinds of details project department to say, can the LG give us the number that are capable, can we at least improve on this? We are not again agreement, I don't think there's any difference with regard to them. Questions by Member Green are with regard to accord, I think I did explain Member Green. The issue of the terminology with regard to the funds requested. The department will have to request funds, but when you go and look in terms of what they will spend, sometimes it's kind of less than what they will have requested. That is the kind of the system that SS we have in how they how we manage the cash. We have the department has to give us what they expect to spend in the following year to us, and then we check against what SS will spend on. Then it depends more about the cash management principle that SS we have adopted. Issue of instance, what does it mean? It simply means that, like, you know, and here is specifically for infrastructure and conditional fund to say, when we receive, whenever there's a payment schedule that the SDA National Treasury will be following in terms of passing the money, when the money comes to us, the instance is and it is decided as a deliver or as for the same in those particular departments. But then the money gets the pressure, we do not find ourselves in a situation where, at the end of the financial year, we do not get the money back either because not used to. Looking at it is it was meant for. It's specifically for infrastructure and conditional grants and also some extent the compensation of employees. And we've been told the service that at least at all material times we should have the money to pay for those things that we have. On the counseling with regard to a just like the operational department, the counseling is discussed to do with a number of issues and it's a whole lot of issues. But we know that like, we have the housing management agent that is the child responsible for the operation of the housing. Therefore, there are a number of items there. Hence, we can just put it as operational requirement for that particular entity to be able to deal with issues that are pertinent to housing. Issues of, recently you might have heard about issues with the specific in the coming. That is the capital at least the housing management agent is dealing with. I think that's the guy you guys don't have to bring consultants and force bring and those to be able to assist to understand the thank you with regard to at least to pick up the system. But it's a whole suite of different things that it is assisting with the GMA, the housing management agency. On the issue of housing online and why did we not plan for this? We planned for this for the similar, but obviously planning sometimes the regulars will happen. We terminated the contract at the end of the financial year. However, at that time, we have to at least ensure that indeed the system that we are moving to the new one, which is the e-learning commission, will not create disruption, the exit of to each other. And that's why there was a delay. We must not take a view with this that where there are delays, means there are no plans. Sometimes you plan, but no, when you get into them, they are not in line with the way you will get them. But the last planning today, you will get this as move from the housing online. And the housing online, it is the ICT system that we basically had in the province with regard to provision of e-learning material and all the connectivity within the province, especially in the schools in Afghanistan. Therefore, what we are saying, because of the expansion was for two located every month up until we were kind of migrated fully and there was no discussion in that regard. I think we are fine about it negatively. The state funeral, you are quite right, it's not a state funeral, it's funeral because there's a number of them and you are related to them. One of them, the former president, and also there was another one for MSC, there was another one as well. It's quite a number of them. The state funeral that the kind of case in the province that they declared a state funeral in line with the first dimension that the president would have given to the province. On the health issue, we have been given way to Member Bloom. Indeed, there are issues, but however, we just want to be clear to say, even ourselves, in our report, we did indicate to say, when we look at the health divide, we are not agreeing with what is given there. To say like, we're not able to fully stand the cost of the systemic issues between the EID and also the Department of Health. Therefore, we are as well in agreement to say like, the spending will not be full or not be spent in the manner in which it's been projected. We are as well have done our own work, and in recognizing, we are as well making that at that point and working. With the issue of the MSC, good assessment, I think the MSC has responded to that. The issue of us and the National Center with regards to the 1045, 164 educators. National Center, I think that we did speak to them, but this figure says what we knew about it. Hence, the MSC was able to respond to it. But when you look at it, National Center look at it from high level from where they are. But us, because we are at a level where we are able to go, we as well went engaged with the department to say like the 10 or 1.24 educators, where do they meet? And then we went to the site cabinet to say the issue is more about like, you know, the people that design, the people that is retired, and that is educated. But when you bring new people to show that there's new appointment, but it's more about the people who are best at system and the that balance. But the issues around the personnel we are behind our but with regards to this one, we're just going to the department at this site and that is okay. Why do you bring 1,000 people all the time? It's because they are retired and also divine educators. That was my special coping for Zola in that place. I think we are as well, it's not never a next level of more, you know, to say if the life cycle that ended would have been done. And now with Zola it's a painful story because of the list that has been there with regard to which have ended properly this was a long time ago. But because some of the challenges that have been done, which we have managed to unblock some of them, we are already trying to secure for some of the equipment for this particular hospital. Therefore, it is not necessarily 100% so to say like we have not planned for that. Because even in the current financial year, we have well started this budget for commercialization of this particular hospital. Chairperson, I think the question raised by Member Ngoni, it was with regard to the influx of people, I think I explained that. It was with regard to accruals, which I think I've explained. The bursary, I think with regard to the ability, it was more on the issue of, it was more on the state. I will not talk much about the FDS, but to say that indeed what the Chairperson was saying to say, we as well have the identity verification system in the province to deal with and delivering who is in our system. We are now in the Department of Health trying to check whether indeed the number of people that we have in terms of the report can we at least make them with the existing individuals. And we are seeing that currently the goal to save the budget or our cost. And Chairperson.
We are running out of time.
Yes, seriously. Yes. No, Chairperson, I was just saying on the issue of the 2000, that question. I think Honorable Chairman indicated that that's out of it. Because if you do, then it means you should be giving a set of the country for the priority. And then you could be able to get the report that they have spent something like 5,000 because of the cells that we have. But there are no cells that he's given. So it means in essence, it's true that we're dealing with the price and the issue of cells or something. Now, I'm raising this because of the growing problem that we have of students going to school, of youth that we have. If there is a cell, then I appeal with my colleagues that benefits. But the issue of the hospital, I don't think we should also take it down. It is something that we should consider very clearly, most in particular about the information. So my colleagues are saying, I'm not saying for the issue of the hospital. Thank you, sir.
The Appropriations Committee is linking to the specific part of the Appropriations Program until we leave Parliament. But you got it before the elections. So we will soon need to get to those definitely transcripts. Please.
Thanks, Jefferson. The first question relates to the revolving restaurants, right, Chairperson. I think the Chairperson has indicated to you before that this is not a new facility that we can invest in the province, but the facility that has always existed, but we are not necessarily utilized.
above, and we have been inundated by interested parties who would like to utilize the facility and achieve rent for that facility. As it is now, it's not utilized. And we believe that this will improve on our revenue collection. As a province, we're paying 4.4 million, but the returns would be much higher than that 4.4 million.
For Christ, you provide the students at the university with support.
Thank you, sir. The 420 million, honorable member, asked what is it that would mean. I'm holding our arms on the 420 million. I must just indicate that whilst the Department of Health in the province has received a letter from the National Department of Transport indicating that this money is meant for provincial contributions, the money has not been diverted. It has not been diverted. And unfortunately, without it being diverted, there's just no way we can spend money. So at every stage, the money is sitting there. We are not certain whether the minister would actually have the fund for issue or not. But I can confirm that the money is behind with us for the money. But yes, we are engaging with the principal center on that. So certainly, we may know about it as well. And the other question related on the expenditure on infrastructure, that we sound too positive, whilst the figures do not indicate that we would be spending all the 122 million. I think in the presentation we highlighted that we are concerned also around the ability of our health department to spend on hospital modernization. There are some projects that have been slowed there, and yes, we are not that confident that the department will spend 10, though they show their commitment to spend all that money, but we are not confident that the department will spend all the money we allocated to it on infrastructure for the hospital modernization. And another question related to the finisher on HMP. I must mention that the question was, so what is it that you are doing as the provincial treasury to ensure that there is expenditure on the EWP? I must mention that once the Department of Public Works is the coordinator and the custodian of the Public Works program, the provincial treasury realized a mixed interview, hence the MEC called in the municipalities and the departments to ensure that we come up with concrete plans as to how we will spend this money, because every time, you know, that's the last money to be looked at. You know, perhaps the allocations are low, but this time we had commitment, and the departments were requested as well as municipalities to prepare those plans as to how are they going to ensure that we spend that money. And the issue of debts, why are we saying debt is a focus area? All that we're saying is that we are focusing on debt collection as the province, because we can see that the outstanding debt is growing at an alarming rate. And what we are doing at the provincial side, we have decided that of the debt that is owed to the department, we will isolate especially the debt that is owed by ex-employees. Because the department tends to write off its amounts of money indicating that it was not feasible for them to collect, or sometimes not economical for them to collect. So we said that let it be our responsibility. Let's isolate those debts for ex-employees and ensure that we recover that money, because we believe that it can be recovered. And we are also proactively ensuring that the department should put in measures to ensure that this overpayment of staff does not happen. And the strengthening of financial management within the province, the department, the secretary department has both the provincial department and municipalities to ensure that
that the Minister of Corrections, we are also working on specifically regular expenditure, wasteful expenditure. We are looking at how we can improve the controls within our control environment through the key control measures that we are implementing in the province. And the slow spending on human settlements. Chairperson, the Department of Human Settlements in the province has understood or has spent money. In fact, in the first two quarters of the financial year, that department has not been spending. We have spent about 27% of our life. But then, that was as a result of the department delaying in running procurement processes for the building of houses specifically, but also that the focus was more on incomplete houses and on the CRUs, the provincial departments of human settlement, in order to ensure that we spend money, but spend money on quality that's on the ground. Have revised the business plan. The business plan has been approved by the National Department, and on that business plan, more of the allocated monies will then be going to CRUs, the community residential units, because that's one area where we are doing well, especially in the Bloemfontein, Sasolbeck, as well as Welcome areas. So the money will be channeled to the CRUs and the his work, you know, that is on the ground, as you can see, and there's a lot of progress that is happening in that front. And the over-expenditure projected on infrastructure, the on Department of Public Works as well as the Department of Agriculture. The Department of Public Works has spent at this stage 72.2% of all their budget, but it projects to overspend. And subsequent to our pilot, the HOD of that department specifically indicated that it's not going to overspend. However, it goes back to this issue of credibility of projections, where departments project that they will overspend and come here and they will overspend. The same applies to the Department of Agriculture. Well, the Department of Agriculture has got challenges, especially on infrastructure. They are basically revitalizing the College of Agriculture, but also we've got pressure on the veterinary laboratories, because we need to at least have one veterinary laboratory operating of medicine in the province. And that was the result of some of the changes in the legislation. And that was one function that was performed initially to be performed within the province. The issue of hazards, there was a question, and I think the National Assembly has also failed to raise that complaint, that the hazards may not be sustainable in the manner in which we are going. We are awarding 1,200 students in the province. We are awarding them buses in the province, and we also award others to some of the needy children, about 500 of them in the province. And realizing that we've got challenges of sustaining this part of it. What government has done, it's working now with private sector, and I must mention that it's amazing in the manner in which we are getting support from the private sector, you know, in supporting us with this matter. I'm sure we all appreciate the fact that, you know, the steps indicate the free state is now the poorest province in the country, meaning that we've got high unemployment rates, the poverty levels are very high, and the economy of the free state has always been reliant on mining industry. The mining industry has absolutely collapsed now, and the economy is mainly reliant on government. This is not what is supposed to happen. One of the things that we are doing in the province is to structure our budget to ensure that we spend more money, ensuring that we at least try and stabilize our economy. And the other question about risk assessment relates to the 120 million of settling the 23 homes. Yes, indeed, this is a result of the settlements that were taken. I think the senior director from National Assembly indicated that the province are taking steps against those who were involved in the process. And we also, with the assistance of National Assembly, the assistance of DBSA, as well as we used the National Home Agency, we look at the quality of the homes that are being implemented in the province. We also ask them to look at the payment for money. And through that process, we save a lot of money in that we wish to negotiate with the service providers to reduce the pricing that was originally for those in the payroll. So that process, I cannot quantify at this stage the amount of money that was raised through that process, but millions were saved through that process. And the 112 million of the municipalities, I should indicate that Jefferson, a portion of that money is actually for all the Hamilton it relates to the leases. There is one additional building that is leased because not accommodate all the staff of government, but mainly yes, the money relates to municipal services, and some of which are the revised invoices, metering, the department. The department of public works is renegotiating with the municipalities, but some of them relate to the issues that are subject to disputes, but we estimate that 112 million is the amount that may have to be spent or may not have to be spent. We're not sure as yet because the process has not been finalized. Hence, we raise it that this 112 million is at risk for us as the province. And a question was raised on the Trinity Valley project, how much have we spent? I think we spent 140 million. And I think, unfortunately, I know we're pressed for time, but can the issue be answered in the other question? Because you see now, the way it's going, is inviting more questions to clarify what is it. It is the question.
Because I'm writing the questions here, my colleague, entertaining because we are a regular meeting that already started. So please speak up, but must be careful regarding your reply. Must be factual.
Thank you, Jefferson. On the previous theory, I must mention that subsequent to all this other, all this media queries and all that, I also visited the farm myself. And I must mention that, unfortunately, the media reports, whilst there's a lot of truth in some of the things that are right there, we are not necessarily being given the complete picture of what is happening. Because I found that the way Jefferson, and I found that Jefferson, the structures that have been built there, I cannot vouch for money at this stage, because we have not conducted that exercise, but I don't believe that perhaps that's the way to go, to determine value for money for what is already on the ground, but yes, I think I've been there, I've seen that there is a lot of activity taking place there, and there are two professionals on site, which I think one of them is the professor, and
Yeah, but yes, I may not respond to all the other issues. I think I may not have all the effects of the choices. And the Honorable Member made mention of wasteful expenditure, which as the problems we have to differ, that there was a wasteful expenditure in that. In most cases, you know, when we read the newspapers, they're talking about English time. When we know that we're talking the English time, we're talking about the aspires for all the municipalities in the province and for all the provincial governments in the province, including the entities. So we're talking for the 38 websites where we have spent 47 million. And I think that's the information at hand, Chairperson, in regard to website, if I may say. And the Myanmar Freely Newcastle Roads, in our previous budget, one of the MECs requested that this road specifically comes from the environment. He requested that this project must be one of the priorities in the next administration. And it was agreed in that meeting that this project, this road will be prioritized in the next administration. And whether the measures in place on approvals, I think Chairperson, we have already mentioned that we are taking our working closely, especially in the Department of Health as well as the Department of Education. And we are addressing some of these issues. If you could look at those workers as well as our threats, that would be one of the financial health of those departments, which would also trust to the accruals. And I think that as talks to the issues relating to the analysts, the MACUFE, the strategy that the event should sustain itself or fund itself, that's what we are trying for, Chairperson, and that is what we have always been calling for, that we can't afford to have to finance or fund this program all the time. So there's a lot of development kind of benefits that we gain out of it. In the province, but yes, we fully agree that the event needs to be moving. I hope that I have covered all the questions.
You created hope, but leave it there. Mr. Shishi, 2 minutes, later 3 minutes, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Our assessment is with overall, and this is a statement I made last year when the committee was starting the engagement, so the problems were not there at that time, but it's still true. Our view is financial planning in a lot of provinces is still poor, and non-financial planning is even poorer. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done. I think the issue that was raised on planning for education, for instance, is an important one. The chairman had a very long back report in January about it, because we do part ways. I think that education can plan what it needs, and they're not doing it properly. And I'm quite convinced that a mother who's a high school principal for 35 years, she tells me this problem. So that needs to be that. The other issue of planning needs to be sorted out on the heart train, for instance. What Jeff is not saying as well is that on the heart train there is a ridership guarantee that resulted in a very serious adjustment to budget of 600 million last time around. So we've been waiting for a report on it, but I think it's important to understand that better because it seems to have come as a surprise. So the number of things that reflect that planning needs to be better needs to improve, and I've drawn that example, so I'm not going to do that. Free stage, I think on the free stage, as I've repeated and as I've said, the problem with the free stage is the decisions. They're not costed, they're not properly assessed, and they need to be costed and properly assessed. Otherwise, we need to continue learning from one problem to another. So those are my comments, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think let's me start with the say our just response to Honorable Kony's question, to the question and comment. I definitely took it into notes to be sufficient for me to raise what I wanted to raise. So if you may, then I would like to start coming out of this presentation tonight. Honorable Ngoni, your question, I think I need to say that sometimes when we talk about this migration and what it means for our budget process, it depends on the side of the spectrum you're sitting. If you're sitting on the side where my friend, you are a recipient for population, so you have to have positive numbers coming to you, it always makes sense to bring it up because you need more money. Everybody does need that money. The number of school children that you have and that are enrolled and what you then receive in the form of migration does not necessarily translate into the budget. It contributes to an allocation which is called the contribution. So let's separate those two things and then accept that the numbers are going to change. And when they change, where does the money go? We must check that whether money actually follows the people timely or not. So let's not link it to the budget. I think that's the comment that I can make to you. Otherwise, we need a little bit longer to explain and make how this thing goes through.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mahler. Other members, you see, following this meeting, we said next week we will meet the other quarters of the outstanding. On Thursday afternoon, which will be a quarter next meeting. Four members, I said, myself. Three, three problems that have been required. Other members, that brings us to the end of business of this meeting, which I suggest.